We're doing the Shaar HaDaat, and we're up to the 13th chapter. Throughout this gate, the Shaar HaDaat, sometimes we could forget that what we're talking about is Daat, knowledge. He began by talking about how we have to perfect our Midot, and we have to walk away from haughtiness in order to attain Daat. And the last chapter we learned requires a certain amount of thought, how that connects to the idea of Daat. He was talking about proper utilization of time, and I'm scared to give my own interpretation, but I think that if we think about it, it becomes pretty clear the connection between that and that. Should I explain a little bit the way I see it? I think that part of that, part of having proper and proper knowledge and clarity, involves a person being at equilibrium himself. When take a person who's let's take a far out example, a person who's a drug addict. He's every minute he's looking to get his drugs. Now you come and talk to him about God, and you're not going to have a very intelligible conversation. His mind isn't at rest. He's not at equilibrium. Go talk to him. And we can see that he's obsessed with something. But the truth is that every one of us has the issues that we're obsessed with. For one person, it's his shalom bias, that right now that's the most important thing. For another person, it's his job. For a third person, it's where he's going to get to in the army. For a fourth person, it's which university he's going to enter. We all have things that overtake our minds, and then we misappropriate the amount of importance we should give them. And you could tell, I think you could tell a lot about where a person's holding in life based upon his Shmon Esrei. Provided he has Kavana, the Shmon Esrei reveals a lot about what's important to a person. What am I talking to Hashem about? What comes up in conversation? And if not the Shmon Esrei, because some people, their Shmon Esrei is not reflective of what's important to them, it's just a rattle. When a person has an opportunity to talk to someone, to talk freely. He's sitting at a simcha. He doesn't have to worry about bringing the food to the table. His kids are playing with someone else's kids. His wife is chatting with someone else. And he's sitting next to his best friend. And now they could just talk about whatever he wants. There's nothing to worry about. It's Shabbos. There's no phone calls. There's nothing. What comes up in conversation? What's really on the top of his mind? I think that those are indicators of where a person's holding. And I think that when we discuss obtaining Das, so I think part of what we have to know is that the closer we are to that state of equilibrium, to that state of balance where we should be, the more we can obtain Das. And the more distant we are, the more we ourselves are off, the more difficult it's going to be. It's us that are standing in our way. It's not the Daat that's hard to get. It's me that's standing in my own way. And I think that part of that is also what we saw in the previous chapter. The idea of what am I doing with my time? What does my life look like? We understand that the guy who's fighting to put a slice of bread on the table, you're going to come and talk to him about God. Well, God to him is the one that's going to grant him that slice of bread for the table. And that's what his focus is on. And correctly so, that's what his focus should be on. But that might not be the right definition of God. It might be in his world, in his in what's important to him. And we all see people like that. People who can be very, very small in their perspective of the world. To an extent, we all have that limitation, that we can be very, very small. And our world can revolve around the decision that's standing before us. And every conversation, and any time we find an opportunity to talk to someone smart, we want his advice on this, because this is what interests me right now. Nothing else interests me. That's where we all are, to an extent. The giants, Moshe Rabbeinu, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the giants of Jewish history, David HaMelech, when they had a minute and when they had time to think, so their thoughts were about understanding Hashem, understanding our connection to Hashem. And that, by the way, is something to think about, because it shows you that they too had room to evolve. People sometimes think, I'm supposed to reach a point where everything's understood. I got it. That's it. No, ma'amim. End the story. And it doesn't seem to be that way. It seems like there's everlasting potential for growth and better understanding. And part of it is reaching our own equilibrium. And so I think that the Shar HaDat is a very fitting place to talk about time management, because that's really a part of becoming balanced ourselves and having the capacity to attain truth. So we move on to the 13th chapter, and the Magid Midovna says, Atane va'er ma'amar emet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam. Now I want to explain what we say in Shachris, emet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam. What are we saying there? We use so many terms for truth. Da, I want you to know, ki ma'amar emet, when you say the word emet, hu al amitat ha'davar me'atzmo, that's talking about something that's true in its own merits. Beli mofet uvli ra'aya, without a miracle, without a proof, ki ma'amar, like the pasuk says, v'tered lila ki gidla et kol libo. Delilah has been spending all her efforts to get Samson to reveal where his strength comes from. And then the time finally comes where Shimshon cracks. And Shimshon tells him. V'tered lila, the pasuk says, she saw that he told her everything that was in his heart. V'gemara, and the Gemara in Sota says, Minayada, how did Lila know? He's been telling her stories, every time he tells her another story, and he's lying. So how did she know this time he told her everything? Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav, Mikan shenikarin divrei emet. Rav Chanin says in the name of Rav, from here you see that words of truth are recognizable. You can tell when you're being told the truth. Even though he already proved himself, he uses a nice word, kafran, a denier. He doesn't want to say a liar. Three times. And be it from his perspective as the one who's saying it, from her perspective as the one who's hearing it, it was closer to a lie, everything he said. Aval mitzad ha-shmua, but based on what was just heard, meaning in his eyes, he was more likely to lie to her. In her eyes, it was more likely that he's telling her another lie. But as far as what was actually said, hamit mevav nigla me'atzmo, the truth was something that was clear. When he finally told her the truth, then it was very, very clear that is the truth. So he begins with this first definition. He says, truth is something that's intrinsically true, without a miracle, without a proof. And from that, he's going to take it to Hashem, to our relationship to Hashem, and to Hashem as we understand the concepts. Bezrat Hashem next week.